Radio Prague News.
Some analysts have suggested that the Social Democrats' triumph in the Senate elections will indirectly impact the government's planned reforms. Several names are being floated over who will replace Przemysl Sobotka as the chairman of the upper house. Police crews have shifted location in Prague's Troja district in the search for missing 9-year-old Anna Janatkova. Political analysts have suggested that Saturday's triumph by the opposition Social Democrats, in which the party gained a majority in the upper house, could indirectly impact austerity measures and reforms put forward by the government. With 41 out of 81 seats, the Social Democrats are now in a position to delay legislation as well as influence foreign policy, some have suggested, such as the planned increase of troops in Afghanistan. Shortly after the results were finalized on Saturday, Prime Minister Petr Nečas, the head of the Civic Democratic Party, stressed that his center-right government would consult key reforms with the leftist party, but stressed that the overall responsibility for measures lay with the coalition, which won a broad mandate from voters in the general election in May. In related news, several names have been floated over who may succeed the Civic Democrats' Przemysl Sobotka as chairman of the Senate. In a TV debate program on Sunday, newly elected Social Democrat Senator and outgoing MP Zdeněk Škromach said he would be willing to serve as Senate leader if asked. Senate Deputy Leader Milan Škech, meanwhile, has openly expressed an interest. Another name being floated is that of Alena Gajduszkova, the head of the Social Democrats' Senators' Club. Civic Democrat Przemysl Sobotka has held the post of Senate chairman since 2004. Around 120 police officers on Sunday, along with sniffer dogs, have resumed their search for missing 9-year-old Anna Janatkova, who disappeared in the area of Prague Troja on October the 13th. The little girl was last seen on her way home from school. Teams, including members of the military, police, fire brigade, and climbing and emergency rescue crews, are shifting to locations closer to the Prague Zoo, a police spokeswoman confirmed. On Sunday, she described the difficulty of searching in the local terrain. The police are accepting help from volunteers who have been informed of the risks. Local terrain includes cliff formations, rifts, and sudden inclines. The Czech Pavilion at Expo 2010 in Shanghai was seen by 90,032 people on Saturday, a new daily record. By October 31st, it is expected that more than 8.5 million will have seen the Czech site. According to sources, the World Exhibit in China is the most successful World Expo ever, now seen by more than 70 million, higher even than the number who visited in Osaka, Japan. Turning to sport, in hockey on Saturday, Czech forward Tomáš Fleischmann scored the winning goal in overtime for the NHL's Washington Capitals, who defeated Atlanta by a score of 4-3. Another Czech, Washington goalie Michal Neuwirth, was also instrumental in the win, turning away 29 shots. The Capitals had lost their two previous games and were arguably outplayed by the Thrashers for a large part of Saturday's match, at one point behind 21-6 on shots. I'm Jan Wellinger. And that's all the news for now.
You are listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. I'm Ruth Franíková. In today's show, a fresh edition of Mailbox with Pavla Horáková. Officials want Czech television to show more subtitled films, a subject Ian Willoughby examines in this week's Letter from Prague. And then Christian Felvey will bring you another edition of Science Journal. But first, Pavla opens the mail.
Hello and welcome to Mailbox, Radio Prague's weekly program for your views, questions and comments. First of all, I would like to remind you that the clocks go back next weekend, which means our winter broadcast schedule will start on October 31st. You will find the list of times and frequencies on our website if you click on Broadcast Schedule in the menu on the right-hand side of our homepage, www.radio.cz/English. Printed leaflets are also available. If you'd like to have one, please let us know here at english@radio.cz or Radio Prague 12099 Prague, and we will mail one to you. Many thanks for your letters and emails that have arrived over the past week. Regular listeners will know that you can also comment on Radio Prague's features on our Facebook page. Radio Prague has its own profile on the social networking site and has close to 900 fans, myself included. So if you'd like to be reminded of Radio Prague's programs on Facebook every day, please join us there. For example, David Fraley commented on the article Brno's new clock provokes colorful reactions posted on Facebook.
I like it, but it looks like a miniature version of 30 St. Mary Axe in London.
And Peter Chakvari simply said,
I like it.
Now on to your emails. Our regular listener Sanusi Isa Dankaba from Nigeria has this question.
When and how did the Czech Republic start implementing the family planning policy to check excessive population growth?
The Czech Republic, as many other Western countries, has quite the opposite problem. The birth rate is relatively low and the country faces severe population aging. Demographers were alarmed to see the number of births fall to just 91,000 in the year 2000, compared to the baby boom of 1975 when 193,000 children were born following a set of government measures to increase population growth. In recent years, the curve has started rising again, with 102,000 babies born in 2005 and 115,000 this year, according to data collected by the Czech Statistical Office. Matthew Pittman from Texas responded to a recent letter from Prague titled One Nation Over with God by Christian Falvey.
I found the article very interesting, if a little disappointing in its subject matter, that the author is of the belief that Czechs have matured to the point of not needing God. In a country with such a long history of worship, I think it odd that Christian Falvey omits the great Czech preacher Jan Hus, leading the way for the Protestant Reformation. Not to mention the irony of the author's own name and his coming out as post-religious. As much as he might wish for the Czech Republic to lead the way as a post-Christian nation, there are still many others who will come in to fill that void of hunger in the soul, whether the author wants to be left alone or not. My own family history is of Czechs who embraced their spirituality when they came to America, founding many Unity of the Brethren churches across Texas. One of my uncles is a retired minister and missionary. It saddens me a bit to think that my cousins in the old country survived the darkness of communism to only grow out of needing God in their lives.
Thank you very much for your thoughts. Don't hesitate to drop us a line if you feel strongly about any of our stories or features. The address is english@radio.cz or Radio Prague 12099 Prague, which are also the addresses for your reception reports and competition answers. In October, we are looking for the name of a Czech-American jazz guitarist who was born in 1960 in Prague and since the 1980s has been living in the West, performing and also teaching. You have one more week to send us your answers. One lucky listener will be picked out of the hat and sent a Radio Prague goodie bag. Mailbox will be back again next week, same time, same frequency. Until then, happy listening.
Pavla will be back at the same time next week. If you'd like to check out this week's mailbox online, you can do so at www.radio.cz. Now it is time for a letter from us, and this one is brought to you by Ian Willoughby.
The Czech Ministry of Education called recently for the country's public service TV station, Česká televize, to show more films with subtitles. The suggestion is that the language skills of Czechs will improve if fewer of the movies they watch are dubbed. Currently, imported films broadcast at prime time on Czech TV's main channel are dubbed, and several of the actors who voice the parts of foreign stars are extremely popular. For instance, for many Czechs, the films of the French comic actor Louis de Funès are inexorably linked with the voice of František Filipovský. It seems the use of dubbing has allowed a number of French stars, for instance, to become household names in the Czech Republic, in a way they're simply not in English-speaking countries. Czechs express surprise if you admit to never having seen the rather silly films of de Funès, while I myself was taken aback to learn some years ago that kids in elementary school were familiar with the likes of Jean-Paul Belmondo and Alain Delon, known only to cinephiles where I come from. The ministry's suggestion has, wholly unsurprisingly, met with resistance from actors who earn a living from dubbing. They say, and it would appear credible, that fewer people would be willing to watch movies with titles. Though the standard of dubbing may have declined somewhat, the practice is said to have a strong tradition here. That said, many people with any kind of serious interest in cinema find dubbed movies anathema, and would rather not watch a film at all than see it with somebody speaking their language over it. And some non-native speakers have told me their English comprehension skills have been improved by hearing the original language while reading titles. Coverage of the issue in the Czech papers has included references to countries like Sweden, where English programs, including cartoons, are broadcast in the original, meaning people are forced to learn to understand the language from a very young age. And everybody knows how great these Scandinavians are at English. But we aren't talking about subtitling versus dubbing in this case, so bringing up their methods may perhaps have only clouded the issue. In any case, the Education Ministry has no power to force Czech television to show more subtitled movies, so the idea, which has done the rounds before, is likely to fizzle out once again. It's highly probable that most viewers in this country will go on watching the faces of foreign movie stars, but hearing the voices of Miroslav Moravec, Valeria Savatska, and a number of other much-loved dubbers.
My thanks to Ian Willoughby for that letter. A reminder that you are listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. Now, in this month's edition of Science Journal, the winner of the so-called Czech Nobel Prize, plans for a genetic database of life in the Czech Republic and 50 years of the Prague Planetarium, presented as always by Christian Felvey.
Advice on how to win the National Prize for Scientific Research. Just revolutionize global progress in the field of virology. Organisms of the Czech Republic, unite. Your genetic data is wanted, but there are so many of you, more than 100,000. And how do generations of children from smoggy Prague know there are stars out there? Because there is one of the largest planetariums in the world here, and it's celebrating its 50th birthday. All that coming up this month on Science Journal. For as long as it's been possible, the various learned institutions of the Czech Republic have been gathering the genetic information of our animal cousins from wherever they lie. That means biologists, botanists, bacteriologists, and bestiologists of all sorts have valuable collections of genetic information stored at their various places of study around the country. The idea now is to bring them together under the Academy of Sciences to make a genetic database of all that lives in the Czech Republic. One of the organisms organizing that great feat is geneticist Jan Zima of the Institute of Vertebrate Biology in Brno.
Collections of biological materials such as tissues, cells, or DNA samples are kept at many institutions in our country. However, there is considerable lack of coordination and central database for such collections. So our aim is to make such comprehensive, searchable database which will serve as national gene bank.
And who exactly would be using it? For what purposes?
There are two basic purposes for such bank. First, it's conservation of genetic diversity. We can conserve biological materials, native biological materials in genetic banks. It is obviously not the best approach, but in many cases it is necessary and very useful. So this is the first aim of the genetic bank. And the second is to promote scientific collaboration, aiming to understand the patterns of biological diversity, distribution, and variation. And such a database will obviously be open to other research groups, and it will make a tool for mutual interactions and collaboration.
Can we say how many species there are in the Czech Republic?
Nobody knows exactly. However, the estimated number of species of all organisms is more than 100,000.
And the species that we can only speculate about would be what kind of organisms? Are we talking about bacteria and that kind?
Yes, of course. Generally speaking, the groups that are relatively well known are vertebrates and higher plants, and perhaps some groups of insects, such as beetles or butterflies. But all the other groups are less known, and in some of them, our knowledge is really poor. It concerns bacteria, fungi, and other groups.
What will the organization of this bringing together of genetic data banks in the country involve? Will it involve the building of a new center, or what would the large-scale version of the plan entail?
I think that it is not necessary to build large new facilities. The main problem is coordination. And you know, you need good computer and some people taking care about this database. So that's all.
So when could we possibly expect such a database to exist?
We hope to make the first steps as soon as possible, and perhaps the next year we can start with building up the database and the gene bank. But it's apparent that the process will be long. It's not possible to make it during a week. It will be a question of several years, certainly.
They call it the Czech Nobel Prize, and not just because it sounds better than the real name of the governmental award for outstanding scientific research, the Czech HED. Whatever the name, it's amongst the highest awards that a scientist can receive in the Czech Republic, and the man who received it this year is Jan Svoboda. Yes, everyone in our show today is named Jan. To win such an award, Dr. Svoboda did no less than crystallize our understanding of viruses and the way they attack us. Here's me trying to get my head around the subject when I spoke with Dr. Svoboda just recently. A retrovirus is an RNA virus,
yes,
like HIV or forms of cancer, that uses a special kind of chemical key to break into a cell where it waits for an opportune moment to begin to multiply.
Yes.
And you were able to clarify this process.
Well, of course, it's not so simple, but I have been interested in virus transformation since the 50s as a student. Then I looked for some suitable model because, as you know, working in Czechoslovakia those days, we were fully cut off. And therefore I turned my attention to the oncogenic activity of these viruses in mammals. And then I established the tumor line, which was the first so-called virogenic tumor line where no infectious virus has been produced, but still the genetic information of the virus has been present. The integrated provirus is present in every cell, but not fully expressed.
Well, your work has formed the basis for the work of other virologists all over the world. How much of what you originally hoped to achieve has been achieved? In other words, where has the rest of the world taken your discoveries in virology, and what do you still hope could come of your work?
Well, in fact, I almost fulfilled what I liked. You have to take into account that we have now the era of molecular biology, and all what I did originally was based on the virology and cytology investigation. Nowadays, people are very much interested what's happening on the molecular level. This is a very important issue because in order to intervene with the virus, we have to know how the cell is able to intervene with it. And according to this, to propose new strategies. And therefore, I think that the extension of our original studies have quite an impact on the problem how to stop the retroviruses, HIV included.
There were eventually Nobel Prizes handed out for in this field, and your work was cited by the laureates, who said that you should have shared in the prize as well. Have you ever felt that you missed out on that?
Well, I highly value especially Howard Thamin, who put a lot of effort. Of course, he got also far better resources for his work. However, I have been following completely different paths. And he was fair enough in his Nobel Prize talk, where he spoke about pro-virus, essentially. He clearly quoted our contribution and our proposal and our findings as independent upon him.
Now on to something I really do understand, which is gazing at stars. On a good night in Prague City Center, you can see 10, maybe 20 of the things through the smog, signs, and street lamps. Thank goodness then for the Prague Planetarium, which for exactly 50 years now has been guiding stargazers, young and old, through the immensity of time and space. I offered my birthday congratulations to Jan Schiffner, who told me a bit about how times have changed in the planetarium.
Before 50 years, we start with old planetarium with one slide projector and gramophone. And today we have a digital planetarium, a digital system, new optomechanic planetarium, Cosmorama, slide systems, and other things.
And I understand that the planetarium in Prague has quite a few superlatives. It's the biggest screen in the Czech Republic. It's one of the largest planetariums in the world in terms of the size of the dome.
We have a 23-meter dome. That means we are one of the largest planetarium on the world. And, of course, we are largest planetarium in Czech Republic and first in the world in a number of planetarium devices which are installed in one planetarium building, because we have 6 planetarium devices in our facility.
What do you think the future will hold now for the planetarium? Can you begin to imagine what the planetarium could look like in another 50 years from now?
I would like to imagine it. We would like to change the view of entrance hall. It is planned for next year. And of course, we would like to prepare a lot of new shows which will use our old technology.
That was Jan Schiffner of the Prague Planetarium, which is now celebrating 50 years. With a hearty thanks to you, Mr. Schiffner, and our other guests this month, Jan Svoboda and Jan Zima, Science Journal signs off. See you in November.
And that edition of Science brought to you by Christian Felvey has brought us to the end of this half hour from Radio Prague. I just want to remind you that you can find all of Radio Prague's programs in text and sound on our webpage, that is www.radio.cz. If you'd like to contact us, the email address is english@radio.cz. This is Ruth Franíková saying thanks for joining us and take care.